If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua. We have two more parts left in this series. It's going to be this Sunday, and then we're going to be finishing off our Fearless series next Sunday. Joshua chapter 14, from verses 6 all the way to 15. Joshua 14, starting from verse 6. Going all the way down to verse 15. We're going to go ahead and look at the story of Caleb. This is the word of God for us this morning. It says, "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word, again, as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God, and Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said.' Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war." All right, so we jumped all the way to Joshua 14. And Joshua 14 is really describing the last third of the book of Joshua, where pretty much as they entered into the promised land, they were engaged in battle with the inhabitants for about 5 years. And so after 5 years, they begin the process of dividing up the land according amongst the 12 tribes of Israel. And so if you look forward or jump one chapter ahead or back, I guess, to Joshua 13, we see Joshua starting that process. And when you read through this, it seems maybe irrelevant to us, or maybe even boring, because it's about which tribe gets which plot of land and where they need to go and where they need to make their habitation and so forth. But this is really an important part, especially to the people of God, because this is where we see the promises of God finally becoming realized. That when God spoke to Abraham, their forefathers, that he was going to bring them into the promised land, and in that promised land that they were going to inherit not only that land, but God was going to establish them as his people. In Joshua chapter 13 and on, we see that process actually becoming a reality. And so when we get to Joshua 14, we notice this incredible story about Caleb as he steps into claim the portion of the inheritance that God has promised him. And as we study this passage, and even for me as I was looking into this passage this past week, I think this was such a challenging as well as an inspiring passage for me, because as I'm getting older, I realize that I am no longer looking forward to what my life is going to be like, but I'm slowly starting to count down the days, right, of someday being with Jesus. And the reality is that I don't know when that day is going to be. It could be 40 years from now, 50 years from now. It could be tomorrow. But really the question that I'm starting to wrestle with is, how do I finish this journey with Jesus well? And we have this incredible story of Caleb, who is in his 80s now. He's 85 years old. And he's still declaring that I want to go after the promises of God. That I want to go after inheriting God's presence for my life. Imagine Joshua, 85 years old, still saying, there's still giants ahead of me. And I need to step in to slay these giants. Because I know that God will give me the strength to do it. And not only is this story inspiring, but I just really, as I was reading the story, I felt so burdened that as a church that we want to be committed in continuing to raise up men and women like Caleb. Men and women who will step into the promise that God has for them, step into the inheritance that God has breathed into their lives, and that they will be willing to say that I am here and I want to tackle these giants. And I know that God will give me the strength to be able to overcome. And so as we look into the story of Caleb, the one thing that I want to give us this morning simply is this, that God invites us to walk with him into the promise that he has for us. But he does that as he relentlessly works to mold our character. Right? God invites us to walk with him into his promise as he relentlessly works to mold our character. And so as we look into this powerful testimony that Caleb leaves behind for us, I think there's two lessons that we can draw out. And the first lesson that I see, we see in verses 6 through 11 is this, that what God is after is more than our zeal. That he is actually working to mold our character. Right? What God is after is more than just our passion and our zeal. But he is steadily at work in molding our character. So at this point, we are introduced to Caleb. And when you think about Caleb and Joshua, they have known each other for years. And what is really remarkable about the testimonies of these two men, out of everyone who came out of the land of Egypt, when Israel was living in slavery and bondage in the land of Egypt, and God, through Moses, rescued them and began the process of bringing them into the promised land, out of all the men and women and children that came out of the land, only two were able to enter into the promised land, and those two men were Joshua and Caleb. And so as Joshua begins this process of giving specific instructions to the people of God, starting in chapter 13 of how they are to possess the land, Caleb approaches Joshua. And as he approaches Joshua, Caleb reminds Joshua of the promise that God made to him 45 years ago through his servant Moses. Look at verse 6b. You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. In verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And you'll see that description attached to Caleb over and over again, that he was someone who wholly followed God. Now, that promise that God made to Caleb, Caleb is referring to what happened in Numbers 13. For those of us who are familiar with the story, people of God came out of Egypt. They crossed through the Red Sea, and Moses sent 12 spies to go to scout out this promised land that God was leading them towards. And the reason why he picked 12 spies is because there were 12 tribes. So these 12 spies represented the entirety of the people of Israel. And so they went into the promised land, they came back, and out of the 12, 10 of the men came back. And they reported to the people that they would actually not be able to go up against the inhabitants of the land. Because even though, yes, the land is abundant, it's a land that's flowing with milk and honey, but they gave this report that we will not be able to go up against the inhabitants of the land. Why? Because they're too strong. And their cities are too well fortified.
And so if you think about it, from a purely logical point of view, that actually makes sense. Because they were right in stating that Israel did not possess the necessary means to take the heavily fortified cities. And so if you think about Israel versus the inhabitants of the land, Israelites were outmanned, outgunned, and they were outclassed. And so 10 of the 12 men came back and they say, there's no way that we will be able to take the land. But then we read in Numbers 13:30, it says, but Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it, unquote. So Caleb saw the exact same landscape that these other 10 men saw. But I think the key there is that Caleb saw the landscape through a completely different lens. While the 10 men saw the landscape through the lens of what resources that they had, what limitations that they faced, and dare I say that it's the perspective that's not that much different from how the surrounding nations, people who did not worship God, how they would have understood their circumstances when they saw the fortified cities and the strength of armies and the technology that they lacked. So that's the lens that the 10 men saw their situation. It was through the lens of what they lacked, and ultimately it was through the lens of fear. But for Joshua and Caleb, they saw their landscape through a completely different set of lenses. And instead of focusing on the fortified cities, and instead of focusing on the giants who inhabited the land, what they chose to focus on is what? God's promises and his faithfulness. And that's actually a decision that they made for themselves. And actually, that's a decision that the 10 men could have made for themselves as well. Because if you remember, they weren't starting from a blank slate. These men have experienced the incredible power of God in rescuing them from Egypt. So they could have chose to say within their hearts that, yes, this is what the circumstances say, but this is the testimony that God has been writing into our hearts over and over and over again. And that's a choice that we can make every single day for our own lives as well. That when you wake up in the morning and when you think about the day that lays ahead, the two choices are you can focus on the external circumstances. And I'm not saying we should chuck logic. But you always have that choice to focus also on the faithfulness and the promise of God. And that's what Caleb and Joshua chose to do. And so we see the zeal that Caleb and Joshua had for the Lord, saying, no, 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 we can go and we can take this land. We can go and we can inhabit this land, but what happens next? The people still rebelled against God. They refused to enter into the promised land. And the situation got so bad that as Moses, their leader, Aaron, who was their priest, and Joshua and Caleb, as they fell before the Lord, the people began this process of, you know what, we should stone these guys. We should just kill them off, elect for ourselves new leaders, and they will lead us back into Egypt. And then when God enters into that picture, and when he is about to release his judgment, Moses intercedes, and so God sends the people out into the wilderness to wander into the wilderness for 40 years. And the reason why I say that God is after more than our zeal, and that he is ultimately after our character, is because he could have said, I'm just imagining the landscape. He could have said in the moment, all right, the rest of you who didn't believe in me, you guys, you take a walk. For 40 years, you're going to wander in the desert. Eventually, you're going to pass away. I'm going to raise up a new generation. They're going to enter into the promised land. But you know what? Joshua and Caleb, Here's a lazy boy chair. You just kick back, relax. It's going to take 40 years. I'm not going to tell you how long, but you just relax. And then when these people are gone, I'll come, I'll get you, and then we'll all enter into the promised land together. No, that doesn't happen. Joshua and Caleb, they actually journey through the wilderness with the rest of the people of God. Right? If zeal and passion is what God is looking for, and I'm not saying that those things are not important, then I think Caleb and Joshua could have earned a pass, right? I think in Monopoly, it's a Go Pass or something like that, where you go through Go and you collect your $200. The pass, free pass through the wilderness card. But God doesn't do that. But as important as our zeal and our passion for God is at work in more than just cultivating our passion, but God is at work in cultivating our character, because our character becomes the bowl that will contain and sustain our passion or our worship. Now, I've had many conversations with some of you, and I've gone through this myself, where we struggle. And that struggle comes from not being able to maintain our passion for God. Right? We have this mountaintop experience, or we experience breakthroughs, or we experience the love of God. And, you know, in many ways, we equate that passion with our feelings. And we talk about how, you know what, just in my feeling, I just don't really feel that close to God. Or we talk about how, you know, we don't really feel God's love in a deep and meaningful way. And we oftentimes feel about how our hearts, talk about our how our hearts feel so dry and brittle. And the reality is that all of us go through seasons where it does feel dry. Because those are struggles that all of us go through. But as we look into the story and this testimony that Caleb leaves behind for us, maybe, just maybe, what we are focusing on are the wrong things. That maybe, just maybe, instead of focusing in on how we are feeling, what we need to be focusing on is actually our character. And what I mean by character, I mean being formed more and more into the image of Christ. Do I have Christ-likeness? Do I have a character that is being formed and molded by God's truth? Character that delights in inviting His holy presence into my life. Do I have the character that reflects ultimately who God is? Because it is our character that will determine whether you will be able to contain and sustain your zeal and passion. Because it is your character that will be able to determine whether you're going to continue in that worship. Because zeal and passion without character, it becomes this emotional high that we experience, but ultimately it's temporary and we're not going to be able to sustain it. So without character, this is what your spiritual life looks like. It becomes like this roller coaster where you experience that mountaintop high experience, but then because you don't have the character to contain God's blessings, His zeal and His passion for your life, you crash, because that emotion will only last you for so long, and it seems so dry, and God seems so far away. And so what we are craving and looking for is that emotional hit. When tough times come, that zeal and passion that you experience, they're not going to be able to speak life into you, because they're going to dissipate in the face of adversity if you don't have the means to be able to contain and nurture that zeal and that passion. And that's what character is. But we see from Caleb's testimony that the road of being developed and shaped by God in our character, it's not easy. For Caleb, it was wandering in the desert for 40 years. And so you have to just place yourself in Caleb's shoes and just imagine what he was going through. That he was wandering in the desert for 40 years with a bunch of doubters and complainers. Right? And it wasn't even his fault. He actually wanted to go into the promised land. So every single day for 40 years, he woke up next to people who refused to listen to him and Joshua. And because of their refusal, he had to participate in their punishment. For 40 years, he woke up next to people who were constantly complaining about, oh, in the good old days in Egypt, we had it so much better. And I don't know about you, but if I was Caleb, I think I would have been thinking the whole time, you know what? You could have had it good. All you had to do is enter into the promised land, but you missed that opportunity. And so you did this to yourself. For 40 years, he woke up not knowing when God was going to fulfill the promise that he spoke to him. 40 years, every single day, walking through the wilderness, knowing that as he walked, the prime of his life, that it was slowly fading behind him, right? Can you imagine? Well, some of you are thinking 40, that's pretty old, but you think about it, 40 years is that's when a lot of people say that you reach the prime in terms of your strength, your effectiveness, right? Knowing your work and the things that you do at work well. And then here is Caleb thinking that, oh my gosh, I'm missing out. I'm wasting the prime years of my life wandering in the wilderness surrounded by these complainers and losers. Well, I don't know if he thought that they were losers. I would have. But what is Caleb's legacy? What did he do for those 40 years? Did he throw in the towel? No. Did he say, God, this isn't worth it, that you're not worth it? No. Did he grumble and complain in his heart about his neighbors? Right? While they were complaining about the quality of food, he was complaining about the complainers. No. And the reason why we can confidently say that is because during those 40 years, he lived his life in obedience, in faithful obedience to God. And that's why God rewarded him and Joshua by allowing them to enter into the promised land. For 40 years, Caleb knew that God was the one who was keeping him alive. That God was the one who was preparing him for the day that he would finally enter into that promised land. And so for 40 years, he fixed his eyes on the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that led the people through the wilderness and understood that the journey that he was on was not meaningless. Because every single day, as Caleb journeyed through the wilderness, he knew that he wasn't just in the wilderness, but he was walking in the presence of God. And so for 40 years, God taught him to patiently follow his presence. For 40 years, God taught him to bless his neighbors instead of cursing them. For 40 years, God taught him to worship that was based not on his circumstances, but worship that was rooted in God's presence and power. For 40 years, God taught Caleb to be content in journeying with God through the wilderness instead of idolizing the promised land and worshiping his dreams of getting there one day. For 40 years, what God taught Caleb is that it's not about the promised land, but it's about God's presence that will help him to enter into that land. And I think what Caleb understood, where everyone else failed to understand, is that his journey through the wilderness for 40 years. And if you look at a map, that wilderness, it's not a very big area. And so they just kept going in circles. What Caleb understood that was about that journey was that it wasn't pointless, but it was a journey of seeing the presence of God in the morning, in the evening, and learning to follow that presence, learning to be sustained by that presence, and learning to stand in awe of that presence. Because for 40 years, God was with them every single day. They didn't have to wonder about, oh my gosh, is God's presence here or not? Yes, how do they know? Pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. God providing for them food every single day in miraculous ways. And it was 40 years of following God. 40 years of God shaping and molding Caleb's character. Now, I'm not saying that Caleb was perfect, right, during those years of wandering, because we're not told the specific details. But we know that he was sustained by God, and we also know that Caleb followed God in obedience. God cares about your character. Because your character, your moral compass of faithful obedience and your joyful delighting in God, that is what is going to empower you to fulfill the calling that God has for you. And so for 40 years, Caleb embraced that journey through the wilderness, knowing that every single step of the way, God was molding him, that God was refining him, God was renewing him. And every single step that he took forward, he knew that he was becoming more and more like the God that he saw. So often when we come before God, the reality is that we want to experience that zeal. Right? We want to experience that passion in our hearts. And those are good things. But I'm telling you right now that unless you have the character, that passion and that zeal is going to be short-lived. So that when you transition from college to young adult years, you're going to say, you know what, that was my college days. But I have bigger things to worry about. When you transition from things like a missions trip, being back into our everyday surrounding, everyday situations that surround us, we're going to say, you know what? That was my summer experience. But now, I need to worry about what I'm facing right here. How do you sustain that zeal and that passion? What's through your character? And some of you, I would say for all of us, we're just in that beginning stages of journeying with God through the wilderness. Like something about being out in the wilderness. Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years, being shaped and molded by God, doing what? Shepherding sheep. Jesus was in the wilderness, not for 40 years, 40 days, fasting, praying, being prepared by the presence of God. Don't think that these are the prime years of my life. No, these are the years of preparation for you. Because even if you knew what God was going to do, the reality is that you're not going to have the character to be able to fulfill that calling. And so it's not God being cruel. It's not God, for the sake of his own amusement, making you walk through the wilderness. but it's God challenging you. It's God molding you. It's God speaking His truth in His life so that He's molding and forming your character so that every morning you wake up, you're learning to say yes to God. So many of us are looking for that big moment, that big decision, that big work that we're going to do in building God's kingdom. But the reality is that when you wake up in the morning and if you cannot say yes to the things of God for you that day, then you're not going to have the character so that when it comes to these bigger decisions that you're going to be able to say yes to God. God never skips over that process. And doesn't say that that process is easy. But God says He's going to sustain us through that process. Caleb says what? God, He kept me alive. And I don't think He just meant He gave me food so that physically I'm alive. God kept me alive, not only physically, but He sustained my spirit. So that when I'm 85 years, I'm just imagining 85-year-old Caleb saying, I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40 years old. And I wanted to tackle these giants then, and I want to tackle these giants now. It would have been so easy for him to say, you know what, I'm an old man. There's a bunch of young pups around. Send them in. Right? Let them do the heavy lifting. But Caleb says no. And the reason why he says no is why? Because he doesn't want to miss out on fulfilling God's promises in his life. Because he says, when I'm in his 85-year-old age, he says, I'm still after God's blessings. We need to raise up Calebs in our church. We need to raise up Calebs in our church. Instead of choosing to focus on the wilderness, that you choose to focus on God's presence. Instead of choosing to focus on what you lack, you choose to focus on God's miraculous provisions for you. And every single day, you're learning to say yes. Even if you are surrounded by a bunch of complainers. Even if this journey, it's not because of your doing. But every single day, you're learning to say yes. And every single day, you are learning to be sustained by the life that God so desperately desires to breathe into you. And the testimony that God is wanting to build into your lives is that you are going to be a giant slayer. God is after your character. Not only that, let's finish with this second lesson. Character that is molded by God empowers us to walk into His promises. It's the character that is molded by God that empowers us to walk into His promises, right? You think about some of these men and women of God in Scripture who were able to persevere, right, against all odds. Men like Abraham and women like Sarah. How were they able to enter into the promise that God had for them, even when those things didn't happen right away? It's because of their character. And what is so humbling about Caleb's testimony is what it's his willingness to say yes to God, right? For 40 years, he learned to say yes to God. And that's why in verses 11 through 12, this is what he says. I love this verse. I am still as strong today as I was in the days that Moses sent me. And so you got to remember, he's 85 years old. He has an 85-year-old man's voice. I am still as strong today as I was in the, right? I mean, that's what he's saying. Day that Moses sent me, my strength now is as my strength was then for war and for going and coming. What is Caleb saying? He's not saying that physically I'm just as fit. The reality is that physiology says, no, you're not. But he's saying what? that my passion, my desire to go after God's promises, my desire to live in His blessings, that's even stronger in me today. And he goes on, he says, so now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there. Now, the Anakim were the giants that were living in the land. And when the men of Israel, the 10 spies saw the Anakim, they said, we're like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And so he says, there's giants there. And he goes on, with great fortified cities, it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. I think this is what Caleb is saying. Caleb is saying, for those 40 years in the desert, he saw the faithfulness of God in leading him every single step of the way. He knew where to go because he saw literally the presence of God leading him. He saw God's provision for him. Even when they were rebelling against God, he saw God sustaining them. And he says, because of what I experienced in the desert, I know that God's going to be with me. And he says, I know that God is going to give me the strength to drive them out. May this be our testimony. As we get older, for some of us who are parents, may this be the legacy that we leave behind for our kids. Not as we get older, you know what, I'm well advanced in age, so let me just kick it. I don't know if people still say kick it. Let me just relax, let me just chillax. I don't know if that's, sorry, that's not the right terminology, then I'm dating. Okay, I'll stop. You know what I'm saying, right? But he says, no, I'm still going after the blessings of God. You have to love that response. He doesn't say, let someone else go conquer. He says, no, I want to conquer that land. Give me those giants that are standing in my way of me experiencing the promises of God. That's a testimony of man who wholly trusted in God. And because of Caleb's willingness to walk with God and to trust in him, look at verse 13 through 14. Then Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. That he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. And that's the testimony that Caleb leaves behind, that he wholly followed the Lord. And what we see later on is that Caleb's testimony of faith and his testimony of courage, producing that faith and courage in the lives of others. Because as we continue on in Joshua 15, we see Caleb conquering Hebron, and we see his daughter, Akasha. And as she is following in her father's footsteps, and as she sees her father pressing in to claim God's promises for his life, to claim God's blessings for his life, she wants the same. In Joshua 15, 19, it says this, and she, his daughter is asking this of Caleb. She said to him, give me a blessing. Since you have given me the land of Negev, give me also the springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs, unquote. Right? She says, give me a blessing. I also want to step in and inherit the promise that God has spoken to you and for our family. And it's Caleb's persistent desire to follow, his relentless desire to live in the promises and the blessings of God, that actually, what? It raises up that next generation that says, as I have seen you do the same, I want that for my life too. Caleb saw the giants, he saw the obstacles, but he still chose to believe in God's promise because of the character that God forged in him through his journey in the desert. And I'm praying, God, raise up Calebs in our generation. Raise up men and women of God who will embrace this journey of being molded and shaped in your character by you. And because they're growing more and more into your likeness, that they will be willing to say, God, I want to walk towards the inheritance that is mine in Christ Jesus. So how do we apply this? Let's close out. Gospel living. First of all, I want to encourage you, learn to say yes to God every single day. Every single day. Build into your spiritual walk that habit of constantly saying yes to God. Which means you have to know what God is asking of you. There's a couple ways for us to do that. The major way is through His Word. Right? As you read the Word, so be the devourer of God's Word. And as God speaks to you through His Word, learn to say yes to Him. But not only through His Word, the Holy Spirit of God, as the Holy Spirit leads you, learn to say yes. And through the people of faith, through the community of faith, as God reveals to you that this is what He is doing, learn to say yes. And so we learn to say yes by thinking about, okay, so if God has called me to be part of this spiritual community of faith, this church, and through the leadership of this church that He is directing and guiding us, then what is He calling me to say yes to? Right? As I read the Word of God every single morning, and as I hide His Word in my heart, what challenges and encouragements is He bringing into my heart so that I can say yes to His Word? How is the Holy Spirit of God leading me this day? So learn to say yes to God every single day, right? And as you say yes to God every single day, even in the small things of life, when those big moments arise, it's going to be so much, I don't want to say easier, but you're going to be more strengthened to say yes to God. And you know, the reality is that I've been so encouraged to see testimonies of people in our congregation who are learning to say yes to God in the small things. Yes to God in the relationships that they're building with people outside of our church. Saying yes to God in understanding our campus and our city as their mission field. Saying yes to God as He leads and directs and guides us, even in the decisions that we make about ourselves, about our families, about our kids. And I want to encourage you to continue on that journey. Don't settle for, whoa, I said yes to God yesterday, and so, wow, I'm in the clear. Learn to say yes to God every day. And number two, find Calebs whom God will use to breathe life and faith into you. I think to Caleb's testimony, he was one of these guys, and you can clearly see it in his daughter's life, that he breathed faith and life into those around him. You know, some people, I don't know about you, but some people, when you're around them, and you see the ways that God is moving in their lives, and you hear their testimonies, man, it encourages your heart. It challenges you to want to love God more. Right? Versus other people, you see their lives and you see the testimony and it's like, oh man. It doesn't bring life to my heart. In fact, it does the opposite. And so find Calebs God will use to breathe life and faith into you, right? Men and women of character, men and women of courage that's going to inspire you and strengthen your own faith. And I know that we're a smaller community of faith. But finding Calebs doesn't necessarily mean that they all have to be this personal relationship. First of all, I want to encourage you, seek out older men and women. And that's not to say that our lives are perfect. Of course, we're still growing. But you see the track record in their lives of these men and women who are embracing this process of God, building up their character, and they have a track record of saying yes to God. Let them speak into your life, but also find Calebs who have gone before us. Read biographies of missionaries. Read books and sermons of pastors that you respect. Find men and women whom God will use to breathe life and faith into you. Let's close out with this. I'm going to invite us to pray through some of this. In Numbers 14, there's an interesting statement that God makes about Caleb. I want us to listen to this. In Numbers 14:24, it says this, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." God says Caleb has a different spirit. Right? Caleb has a different spirit. And so I've been thinking about, like, what is this spirit that Caleb had? What is this different spirit that Caleb had? And I think Apostle Paul gives us an insight into what this different spirit is. As he is writing to Timothy, this young pastor, and as he's trying to encourage him, this is what Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 7. He says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." And just by the way, once again, we see this example. That Timothy has the testimony of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. These older women of faith who pursued God, who was able to breathe life and faith into Timothy. And so Paul is saying, you have this legacy. And he goes on and he says, "For this reason, in light of this legacy, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands." Listen to this. "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And when God declared that Caleb has a different spirit, I think this is what God was pointing to. That Caleb, unlike the other people, because he trusted in God, because he was willing to follow God wholeheartedly, that God gave him not a spirit of fear, but God gave him a spirit of power. A spirit that relied on the power of God. God gave him a spirit of love. Not spirit of complaining. Not spirit of hating. And God gave him a spirit of self-control. Spirit of discipline in his pursuit of God. And Paul says, Timothy, you have the Spirit in you. And what I would declare to all of us is that because we have the Spirit of God in us, that this is the Spirit that God has given us. That every single one of us who are new in Christ, a new creation, that you have the same Spirit that Caleb had. That you no longer live spirit of fear. That you don't have to live in fear of your circumstances, fear of your past, fear of your failures. Fear of your weaknesses. Fear of the uncertainties that you experience. but you can live in the spirit of power. That you can live in the spirit of love. And that you can live in the spirit of self-control. But now it's up to you. Even though you have that spirit, now you have to decide, am I going to live in the power of that spirit or not? And how does Joshua continue to live in the power of that spirit? Excuse me, Caleb. By following after God. In the wilderness, God uses the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, and as he is about to enter into the promised land, God uses who Joshua in Caleb's life. So he follows Joshua into the promised land. And it's Joshua, as God tells him to be strong and courageous, it's Joshua that God uses to continue to breathe courage and strength into Caleb's own life. And it's also in our lives, Yeshua, Jesus, that God uses, that as he leads us into the promises that he has for us, that it is Jesus who breeds our strength and courage in us. You know, I heard one pastor say this. He said, it's impossible to make excuses and make history at the same time. He says, it's impossible to wear a crash helmet and a victor's crown at the same time. He says, it's impossible to hang on to safety and to hang on to God's promises at the same time. And he says, you have to make a choice every single day. Will you complain in the wilderness because you're forced there? Or will you rejoice in the wilderness because you know that God's presence is leading you? Will you wear a crash helmet and hang on to safety, or will you wear the victor's crown and hang on to God's promises? Let's stand together as we close out. Can I just invite us to stand? Let's stand together. Can I, before I lead us into some topics, can I just give us a moment where if you want to interact, maybe loud enough to hear yourself, or you just want to remain silent, but let the Spirit of God speak and encourage you through the testimony of Caleb. Even as we talked about the life of Caleb, maybe certain aspects of what you read and what you heard, maybe they challenge you, maybe they encourage you. Maybe they remind you of this journey that God has called us on. Maybe it's a good reminder for us that some of us, it's so easy for us to fix our eyes on the wilderness. And we forget that, oh my gosh, the presence of God is right there. That it's not about the wilderness, but it's about learning to walk in his presence every single day. It's about learning to say yes to God. It's about learning to receive his provisions. It's about learning to cultivate within our hearts a desire that says, God, I want your presence. We're not making an idol out of the promise, but we're learning to worship his presence. And so I just want to give us a moment to let the Spirit of God speak to you and let the Spirit of God encourage you. And let the Spirit of God build you up. And so this might seem a little bit odd, but just in silence, can I just invite us? Receive from the Holy Spirit of God as he speaks to you, okay? Let's do that together. Let's just listen to the Spirit of God as he speaks to us individually. So yeah, let's do that for a little bit.